Let us bow our heads, open our hearts, and pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we ask that you watch over us, your devoted children, and keep us safe during these trying times in this thing we call life. All of this we ask in the most precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It's been about now, and we've been celebrating the incarnation, the redeeming works, and the life of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We started with his birth that night, with the stars shining above his birthplace, his manger. We sang songs such as, O Come, Emmanuel, and O Little Town of Bethlehem. And now, these last couple of weeks that have passed us by, we saw the culmination of these 6 months with his ascension and the sending down of the Holy Spirit down to us during Pentecost. We see his glory lived out in his life and by his life and all that were touched by his life. When John said in John 1, verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Today, our celebration of Jesus' redeeming work is summed up on what's called Trinity Sunday, with the celebration of the divine life of God himself, in which we're called to share as children of his grace and his love. Today is Trinity Sunday, but what is the Trinity? The Trinity, for one, is the central doctrine and the foundation of our Christian faith. It's one of the things that we Anglicans call a mystery because we really don't have the words to explain it. And that's the beautiful thing about being Anglican. You can call everything you can't explain a mystery, and we accept it. I mean, we'll look up at the sky, and somebody will say, it's blue. We'll still look to check. But if we say something that might be in the Bible, or somebody heard it from someone, it's a mystery. Let's just go with that. I got to try that on my children next time they ask me something. Say, it's a mystery. Oh, okay, we'll do it. Maybe not. There's been many attempts to try to bring this concept of the mystery to a level where we can all understand and explain it to others. But that doesn't mean that we still don't try. Some people have said that the Trinity is like the same person with three different titles, such as a man can be the Father, the Brother, and the Son at the same time. Others have compared the Trinity to time, both past, present, and future. The past is not the present is not the future, and the future is not the past. You see, all three are unique, all three are inseparable, and you can't have one without the other. With all things considered, none of those analogies, metaphors, symbols, or whatever it is that you want to call them, is an accurate description of what the Trinity is. The fact of the matter is that the Trinity is three distinct persons in one God. All three, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, have been around for all eternity. They'll be around until the end of time, and then they'll continue to be around. All three coexist so that all three can be present at the same time and in the same place. A good example of this is when Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist in the books of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. After the baptism, God the Father spoke. while God the Son, known by his street name, Jesus, was being baptized. And at that same time, God the Holy Spirit descended upon him in the form of a dove. Each of the three are able to speak to one another as distinct persons, such as when God the Son prayed to God the Father in the Garden of Gethsemane. The presence of one can be emphasized over the other. When Jesus was speaking to the disciples before he ascended, he told them that he was going away. Why is he going away, though? Because he's going to the Father. And when he gets there, he'll send the Holy Spirit, also known as the Comforter, the Counselor, the Advocate, to be with them. In the early church, the doctrine of the Trinity was a very touchy and pointed issue. The various early Christian factions brought into existence their supposed understanding of what the Trinity was, and to some, at the cost of great personal tragedies, and at the beginning of a great many heresies and beliefs about who Jesus was. Bishop Athanasius was exiled and then restored 5 times from his diocese in Alexandria because he continued his struggle against the Arians. Now, the Arians denied that Jesus was God, was fully God. But because of him and his loyalty to God, that is why when we say the Nicene Creed every Sunday, we say 2 particular verses. One in which we just said, being of one substance with the Father. If you're the same substance, you're the same person, you're the same power, you're the same God. And another one is very God of very God, meaning the same thing. The one true God. See, these are phrases that we shouldn't be afraid to say to our fellow Christians, and we should be ready to defend because they're part of our doctrine, our belief, and our faith. We need to teach everyone that we can that Jesus is fully God, as God the Father and as God the Holy Spirit. See, the Arians tried to teach us that Jesus was God-like in nature, but he wasn't God. Now, think about it for a second. That would have meant a very different Christianity than what we have now if we had followed their belief. If he isn't really God, then how can he be our Savior? If Jesus was not God, then his death wouldn't have been perfect. It wouldn't have been pure enough in order to pay for our sins. In order for the death to mean something, to be pure, to be perfect, he had to be God. He had to be sinless. And Jesus was perfect. He was pure. He was sinless. And because the only person that can be pure and sinless is God. See, another thing that you might have not known, or maybe you did, because I'm not claiming to know everything. My children will tell you that in a second. Is that God himself can't be or maybe he just doesn't want to be in a relationship with sin or sinners. So because of that, he wouldn't be in a relationship with us. If it weren't for the fact that Jesus loves us, and through his sacrifice on that day known as Good Friday, we were cleansed of our sins. And because of being cleansed, we now are in a relationship of love with God the Father. Because Jesus was sinless, we've been endowed with righteousness. He took all of our sins upon himself and gave us, in exchange for that, his righteousness. Because of that sacrifice, Jesus, who is perfect because God is perfect, we can be seen as sinless now. But being sinless doesn't mean you stay that way. But we're in a state where we're being forgiven because of the love of God. And God now claims us as his children and heirs to his heavenly kingdom. We're wrapped in the love of God, the Holy Spirit, and because of that love, we have the opportunities given to us as a gift to be able to live the life that God wants all of his children to have. The Athanasian Creed defines the Catholic faith as this: we worship one God in Trinity, and Trinity in unity, neither confounding the persons nor dividing the essence. For there is one person of the Father, another of the Son, and another of the Holy Ghost. But the Godhead of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost is all one. But again, what does that mean? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are three persons in one God. And they're all equally divine. God is not three beings. God is not three personalities. God is one in Trinity and in unity. If I said that the Trinity, as you have already heard, is complex, I wouldn't be touching the tip of the iceberg with that in terms of it being an understatement. Each of the three persons of our one God has different attributes, yet the three work together as one to watch over us, to love us, and to care for us. The Trinity is a divine unity and one that is perfect in unity. Romans 5 gives us one example of how the three persons of one God work together. In this scripture, Paul writes about how God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit gives us that thing called hope. We're told how we're justified with God the Father by faith. See, justification by faith means that we're not cleared of our sins by our works, by what we've done, but by faith in Jesus and what he has done for us. In the comfortable words that you'll hear in a few minutes from me, we hear that we have an advocate with God the Father, and that is God the Son. It is through Jesus' grace that we're able to stand before God the Father as justified. It is through the Holy Spirit that this grace has been applied to our lives. See, my brothers and sisters, the Trinity, like I said, and like I tried to explain, is one of the hardest things to explain and still is one of the hardest things to understand. Because that's just one of the mysteries. Even though we recite the Nicene Creed every Sunday, on top of the fact that it's Old English, it is still a very hard thing to understand. But the one thing that we should take away from all of this is that we need to praise God for all that He has done for us. Even when we don't understand Him and the other members of the Godhead that are known as His Trinity. In the name of God the Father, and of God the Son, and of God the Holy Ghost. Three persons, one God. Be the glory, both now and forevermore. Amen.